Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord is with thee,
Emmanuel.
Thou mighty man of valor,
whom shall I fear?
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the spiritual war. The devil comes in like a flood. Spirit of the Lord, lift up a standard against him. Kids, me redemption. Salvation, help my shield above all. Taking the shield of faith, quenching the fiery darts of the wicked, the sword of the spirit, able to withstand in the evil day. Having the gnaw to stand and pray. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, women of God, garments of vengeance. Fury of fire to my adversaries, my enemies, repay and recompense. Fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun. Stand ye still, no need to fight in this battle. The battle's already won. See the salvation of the Lord from tower, even in the wilderness, is God places, Lord, make it rain for you, rain forever, whosoever will, take it freely, believe in the Lord, and be established, believe in this prophet, so you prosper, for with God, all things are possible, what to say, I'ma say, what the Lord say, let the Redeemer lead the creed of the gospel, they that have not seen yet have believed, he that have been hid his valley, believe and receive, and know his valley, I'm a soldier ready for the battle. I'm a mighty man of valor. No evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Condemnation to every tongue that rises against me, the same for every weapon. Never prosper. Nothing stop me from living the gospel. God searches the heart, and that's the matter. For I'm a mighty man of valor. Fear no evil, for the Lord is with thee. No need no signs. Though you show me time and time, a thousand shall fall at that side, 10,000 at that right hand. No weapon formed shall ever prosper. Nothing stop me from living the gospel. God searches the heart, and
okay,
that's a mighty man of valor. I'm a soldier in the Lord, so I'm in no weapon formed against
him.
The power of his might. By the faith, hold eternal life. Do it that weather, be angry, no need to discuss. I sleep in the dust. For me, for my afflictions, my adversaries, token of perdition. Mysteries of iniquities, do it already, work power, pay attention. Be not deceived, for many say that I am. Be sober, be vigilant, for the enemy seeking whom he made a vow. But me, I'm a mighty man of valor. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, come to eat up my flesh? And I'm in distress under heavy fire. I know it's a test. My God, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my high tower. There's power in the natural spiritual warfare with legions, casting out demons. What's the name? Legion. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Keep fighting the good fight and do what's good and what's right in the sight of the Lord. Remember, this battle's not yours, but the violent take it by force. I'm talking faith, and faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. With a pure and whole heart, and before the sauna, endure persecutions, crown of life for the martyr. Where is that? The Lord is our man. And is this
hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, somebody has to mute their phones because we're hearing some background. Hallelujah.
Okay.
God, you've tuned in. Hallelujah. All right. You've tuned in to the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Hallelujah. We're the broken are made whole by God. Hallelujah. And we do men's fellowship every second Friday from 7 p.m. to 7:40. And then following the men's fellowship is the women's fellowship from 7:50 to 8:30. So you ladies that are tuned in now, you can hang up and call back at 7:50, or you can stay on. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I thank God for all of you men and young boys who have tuned into this informal, I don't know if you call it a service, it's a fellowship. It's a men's fellowship. We're going to talk the man to man and man to boy and boy to man. This is what we're going to do. And I think we have on the line a co-host. This is Bishop E.T. Byrd. And we have a co-host. I think it's Minister Jerry Cleveland. Are you there? Okay.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Bless God. We thank God for you. So I hopefully you men got a hold of that gospel rap, Mighty Man of Valor, because that's what you are. You know, you are mighty men of valor, and you are kings. And you young boys, you are kings in training. Hallelujah. And you are a prince? You are a prince. You know, and as you grow, you're being trained to be a king, to take your place in the kingdom of God as one of God's kings, one of God's royal priesthood. So just want to let you know. And tonight we're going to be talking about something that's going to really set just young men, old men, everybody up for victory in this life. What are we going to be talking about tonight, Jerry? Minister Jerry, what do you think? What are we going to be talking
about? Well, I think we should be talking about writing down things, writing down our visions, writing down our thoughts, writing down our beliefs.
Yeah. Now, Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, the people perish.
Yes.
And then Hosea 4:6 says, we perish because of the lack of knowledge. I think
right.
that those two things work together. And we want to do today, we want to get you men set up in writing your vision. There are five things that we as men need to understand and have committed in our minds before we even begin to put pen to the paper. And these five things, number one, is we need to know who we are, where we
yes.
came from, why we're here, what
yes.
we do, and where we're going. Those five
Amen.
Things. Who are we? Number one, we're a child of the King. Hallelujah, glory to God. St. John, hallelujah, glory to God. Chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. We're children of God.
Amen, amen.
Where did we come from? We came from the heart of God.
The heart of God.
Because the word says that before the foundation of the world, he knew us.
That's right. He knew us.
And how did he know us? Because we were in his heart. Okay.
Yes, God.
And why are we here? Now, glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8b says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Mm.
Yes.
We are here to destroy the works of the devil. Mm. And Jesus said also in St. John 14:12 that greater things would we do than he did.
Yes.
Why are we here? To destroy the works of the devil, to praise Almighty God. Hallelujah. Mark 12:30, the love of the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And our neighbors, this is why we are here. And so we need to understand that as a person, as a man. And then what can we do? Bible says, Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ.
All things. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah. And then Philippians, where are we going? Glory to God. Philippians 3, I think that's 13 and 14. In essence, we're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We're seeking to be more like Christ every day. That's destiny. Hallelujah. So understanding all of that, having that as your foundation, all of that, knowing who you are, where you came from, why you're here, what can you do, and where you're going, you got all that in mind. Hallelujah. Now you get your paper out. And at the top of your paper, the vision for my life. Because, see, a lot of men, they're looking for a wife, and they're looking for companionship. And the thing about it, they got to start at the first step. You don't step on a ladder stepping at the top round. You got to step the first step and then the second one and on. And so what I'm saying is that the first thing, you got to know who you are, you know, where you came from, hallelujah, why you're here, what you can do, and where you're going. Once you got that, that's your foundation, then you can put pen to paper. And look. If you don't have a vision and you want to have a wife, the wife is supposed to help you to achieve your goals. Is that right? It's supposed to be a help me, meet. Yeah, I guess that means suitable, fit you like a glove. That's supposed to help you. But if you don't have a vision, help you do what? Help you do nothing?
Help you meet your goals.
In other words, you got to have some goals. Is that right?
You have to have some goals. Now, one of the things this just in, that a woman, you're talking about, you're setting the groundwork for where we're going with this. You sent with a purpose, deployed. You were deployed with a purpose. You have that. Where you're going, and everything lined up here, and that is exactly what. And you're looking for a wife. That's exactly what a wife wants to know. Only does God want to know, do you know your purpose? Do you know why I sent you here? Do you know what you're supposed to be doing? And your wife wants to know the exact very same thing, because she wants to know where you're taking her. How long is it going to take for us to get there? What's your plan?
You know what? When I was real active in the business field, I heard this saying. It's one of those expressions that you hear often. The business that fails to plan, plans to fail.
Plans to fail, absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The family, you know, the man that fails to plan, plans to fail. You got to have a plan for your life.
There's got to be a plan.
Let me ask you a question, because I know you teach school. I'm not putting you on the spot. With Cavalier, there's some people... You know, they seem like they go through life with a cavalier outlook. Do you understand what that means? A cavalier outlook.
That's code for winging it.
Winging it. That's right. That's
code for winging it.
Let it do what it do. Whatever.
Yes, sir. Yes. That's right.
In life. If you want to live it cavalierly, you know, whatever happens.
And
then you wonder, why does this woman don't want to go out with me? Why do I want to talk? Because you live a cavalier life, like you have no goals. What do you plan to do? I mean, look at here. You can ask a 10-year-old child, say, what do you want to be when you grow up? They even got some plans.
They have a plan.
Look, and some of these grown men don't even have a conception of what you want to do next year, next month, 5 years. You don't have, and something is wrong with that picture. And then you wonder why doors aren't opening to you. Because you don't have a vision. And the Bible says without a vision, the people
perish. Absolutely.
So here it is. Now y'all know the framework. Of course, man, if you really want to do it right, number one, you get saved. Number two, those five questions that you got to answer for yourself. You got to answer that. And we gave you the answers. So, we just gave you the answers to those five questions. All right. So now you got all that set. Now, you got to be in a good atmosphere. Here's the atmosphere. The atmosphere is, number one, have a coachable, teachable spirit, a burning desire to please God and be excellent, and a willingness to work and go the extra mile. You got all that together. You got the five questions answered. You got this atmosphere, a coachable, teachable spirit, a willingness to work, a burning desire to please God and be excellent, and a willingness to work and go the extra mile. You got all that together. Now, I recommend that you get a laptop or a computer. No, I mean, it's nice if you do old school and write it on a paper, you know, but it's easier. I found out it's easier to put it on a computer, and then you save it, then you go back and redo it and correct things or change things or build on it, whatever. And because I remember when I started writing my vision, it started out maybe a half a page. Now my vision is about four pages long.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, four pages long. See, the thing about it, you've got to have technology is going to help you write your vision. So here it is, man. I should have told you in pencil paper right now so you can write the step. The first thing you do, the top of the page, even on a computer page, the top page, the vision for my life or the winning vision for my life. Or whatever you want to name it, but it's a vision for your life. And you can start off with the first sentence. Since I know who I am and where I came from and why I'm here and what I can do and where I'm going, the following is my vision for success in my life. You can do it something like that. You have to put in words like I just said. But start it, and that may be as far as you get one day. Pick it up the next day. Continue to. That's why you save it. You save that on your computer, and then you get a little. What do you call it, a little flash drive? And you save it on that. That's the backup. So you back it up, and then the next day you add a little bit more. But you got to have a vision. I mean, your vision will entail. What you want to do next month, next year, 5 years, and what you want to have going along with you. If it's a business, if it's a wife, if it's all that, if it, you want to have children, put all of that in your vision. You want to have a ministry, in your vision. What do you have to say about all that, Minister Jerry?
Well, you know, let me put it this way. As you were talking, I was just thinking about how we do it in school. And how we do it is we have a daily plan, we have a weekly plan, and we have a monthly plan, and we have a plan for a semester plan.
That's great. Mm.
So there's a daily plan, there's a short-range plan, there's a long-range plan. And the daily plan contains all of the details. How am I going to convey this message? And sometimes you have to even do a verbatim, what I'm going to say. And that will take the guesswork out of everything.
You know,
so
go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So it would be to an advantage to write it down as much detail as you possibly can just for a while. Do that for a while. But you still have to have a short-range goal and a long-range goal. So you have a daily goal, you have a short-range, and a long-range. What's the long-range? The long-range is to be the president and CEO of my own company. Okay, so how are you going to get there? We're going to start with these line up on line and precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. But what are the steps that we're going to take? We're going to take this one, we're going to do this, we're going to... That is where all the detail lies. So you have to have three levels of planning, at least three levels of planning, and that's for a good start. But most importantly, you have to have that daily plan, and you have to view that daily plan on a daily basis. Otherwise, you can. If you're one of these people who can be easily distracted, then you'll get off the plan very easily. And the next thing you know, you will be winging it.
In other words, you got to stay focused on your plan.
You
got
to stay focused on the plan. Yes, absolutely. Now that doesn't mean to say that you don't tweak the plan. Of course, you tweak the plan as you go. You see what works, you see what doesn't work. You see what works better than this and better than average, and you start and you tweak it. All right, but you don't get off of it. You don't leave it completely. You always use it as your guide, as a light.
You know, that's awesome what you shared. You know, many years ago I used to write proposals, and one of the things that was very relevant to put in a proposal, which was like a vision, is what happens if things don't happen like you want to? What is your alternative? If things, instead of going right, they go left, how do you respond to that? That needs to be in your vision as well. How do you address hiccups in your vision? What would you do if you're trying to buy this house and that doesn't go through, or this business, the commercial building, what can you do? You know, what would you do if this doesn't happen? And of course, for instance, then we look at renting. You know, you put that in there, renting a space or leasing a space or a lease space with the option to buy. So, in other words, in your planning, in your vision, because sometimes, what it says, the plans of mice and men sometimes go awry.
Yes.
When it goes awry, when you're writing your vision, even though you haven't stepped out on it yet, make sure you make consideration or make, okay, if this doesn't happen the way I'm writing it, how do I respond to that? How do I make it work no matter what? Because the bottom line is that you want your vision to work. You want your vision to be achieved. That's the bottom line. But there's sometimes, you know, the enemy don't want you to be successful anyway. He wants you to crash and burn, you know. So when things happen that looks like that, but see, God gives you a way to turn the lemon into not just lemonade but a limousine, you know. He makes you turn a sow's ear into a silk purse. You see, because you got the plan for the, what do they say, contingencies? Is that the right word?
Yeah, contingency, yes. You have to have a contingency plan. That's right. That's a what-if plan, you know? What if the enemy gets in somehow and turns it left when it should be going right? What's going to be my response? Am I going to flee, or am I going to put him to flight? Staying the course,
all
right. Or by tweaking the course to help to make it successful. Yes, God can make turn a sow's ear into a silk purse, but He has to have our cooperation.
That's right.
Yeah, so he's not, you know, there's nothing, and I talk to people about this all the time. There's nothing magical about any of this. It's all intentional. And so we have to approach it from an intentional standpoint, a purposeful standpoint. I remember we were having a fire drill one time, and one of the teachers was telling the kids, these were elementary kids, and she was telling them, walk with purpose. Come on, hurry up. Get across the street. We were holding back the traffic. And the kids, some of them were just kind of lackadaisical, kind of walking like they were on a picnic or something. No, walk with a purpose. So you have to plan with a purpose and know that your purpose is going to be fulfilled. The word of God goes out, and it goes out to be fulfilled. It does not come back void, and it does not come back talking about that was just too tough, that was too hard, that was too much, we just couldn't get it done. It gets done.
It gets done.
And you have, yes, and you have to have that same intention in your heart and in your mind, in your spirit.
As you said, you were sharing that, one scripture came to me, and then just now another scripture came to me. The first,
mm-hmm.
The first one that came to me was, of course, Hebrews 11:6. Hallelujah. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that
yes.
he is the rewarder of them that diligently, intentionally, deliberately, meticulously seek him.
And purposely, that's right, seek him.
And then the other scripture that came to me was 2 Corinthians 2:14, that God always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And young boys, when you're writing your vision, don't you dare leave God out. You want God
right.
of your stuff. You don't
yes.
want to leave God out of your plans, out of
That's
your
right.
out of your deliberations, out of even your contingency plans. You better have God in the center of your stuff. Cause
Amen.
Look. A lot of people say, well, life is fair. No, life is not fair, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not
mm-hmm.
fair. The first thing that happens to you when you're born, somebody has been hitting you. You know, life is not fair, but God is.
Yes.
And he wants the best for you. He wants you to be the head and not the tail, above only
yes.
and not beneath. You
Hallelujah.
Look, you can just go down, you can ride down a street in any large city and see people's furniture on the outside. You know life ain't fair. But if you plan and put in the
yes.
contingency plan, you write your vision and you work your vision,
yes.
you're not going to perish. If you build your vision on knowledge, and true knowledge is the wisdom of God.
Yes.
You're not going to be destroyed. You're going to make everything up. Look, Bunker Reader said, look at everybody else, the depression, the Great Recession, everybody was losing stuff. He was gaining. Our business is
yes.
gained. He didn't lose money, he gained money.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He had a vision, and he worked his vision. And God was in the middle of his stuff. Don't look at the world. Looking at the world, hallelujah. God said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed
right.
by the renewing of your mind. Have the mind of Christ. When you write your vision, you be thinking about what would Jesus want me to do? How
yes.
would Jesus want me to do this? And
yes.
in your vision, make sure you include reaching out to others. Make
okay.
sure you show the compassion of Christ by dealing with homeless or dealing with helping people that can't do a thing for you. A lot of
okay.
people go around in life only helping people that can do something for them.
Yeah.
They will not hardly talk to people that can't do anything for them. But
that's
see,
right.
That's where you get your blessings from God, for to help somebody that can do nothing for you. Because then, you know what? God will deal with it. God said, look here, he will bless those who give to the poor. So that's just like lending to him.
Yes.
So somebody can't do anything for you, guess what? Go ahead. Give it. Bless them. Because you're going to get blessed. But put that in your vision.
Okay.
What else should be in a vision, Brother Jerry? I think we got about 10 minutes left.
Another primary thing that should be in a vision is that it should be made plain. Don't complicate it with a lot of stuff. Put the details in, but don't make the moving of it and the logistics of it complicated. Keep
right.
it simple.
Don't obfuscate, as they say. Just make it simple. You know,
keep it plain.
The principle, keep it simple.
Keep it simple, stupid. That's it. Yes.
Keep it simple, saints.
Oh, saints. Okay. All right. Okay. That's a good spin. That's right. That's a good spin. That. Thank you very much. Clear that up for me.
You're absolutely right. Keep it simple. I mean, because if you try to do your vision like mine, it won't work. Because your vision is your vision. Your vision may be one page. It may be a half a page. It may be 10 pages. I don't know, but it has to be your vision for your life. Your vision for your life. But you have to start. Look, I got to ask you a couple quick questions, Brother Jerry. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with what?
The first step.
Okay. How do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
All right. Y'all heard? Writing a visit. Oh, that's too much. No, it isn't. Like I said, you can start your visit by just writing the title, My Vision.
Right.
Started your vision. That's all you go say. My vision at the top of the page. My vision, and the next, and then you can start in the text of your vision. You can say my vision is, and you can stop there.
Yeah.
That's the second day, and just keep on. I can't give you. I put a time limit on you writing your vision. You know why I can't do that, Minister Jerry?
Why is that?
Your vision.
Amen.
But I put it this way. The sooner you do it, the more success you get quicker.
You know, this reminds me of what Minister Peaches was talking about the other Sunday. The other Sunday, she was stressing the importance of prayer, time with God.
Yeah.
And it encouraged me to continue doing time with God. She says, even if it's like 5 minutes in the morning, and then was talking about this. He was talking about the same thing, giving time to God first, putting God first, and giving time to God first.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, first fruits, you know. So sometimes I find myself at the door, and God knows this is I've done tried a bunch of stuff to be on time, get to work on time, but sometimes you know it's a challenge. And sometimes I'm at the door, and I say, before I leave, God, we're going to talk about this, and I want to thank you for getting me up this morning. Still, the activity of my limbs, and the old deacons used to say, and a portion of my right mind, and for keeping me safe through the night, no harm coming, and so forth, and so just spend a little time with some acknowledgement with God. Now, so when I have those times that I can't sleep, spend time with God. And Pastor Don says it will time sometimes that will put you to sleep. You wanna spend some time with God, something, get the Bible and start reading. And boy, I don't know which way to take this or which way to go with it, but yeah, some of that stuff is so heavy it can knock you out.
That's right. The word of God says you're going to get
your
sleep. I
can't
think of a better way to go to sleep than the word of God.
Yes. And if you don't want, if you can't read it and you don't want to read it and you don't feel like you want to, you know, put it on, get it on your phone. And so this is what I do sometimes. I go to sleep. And there are prayers for fighting the enemy. There are prayers for deliverance. There are prayers for sleep. And I go. And sometimes you can get an hour prayer. You can get a hour and a half, 2 hour prayer. That's the time that it takes, you know, for that prayer to go on. It goes on, and by that time, yes, you will certainly sleep. But the word of God is still coming at your subconscious, even while you sleep.
Amen. I mean, and
yes,
that is so great. And you know what? I know we only have a few more minutes, but I'd like to share with you, men and even young boys, you have people in your lives that have done visions for themselves. There may be a teacher. It may be a minister. It may be a business person. Talk to them.
Yes.
Talk to them about writing a vision. Their wisdom and their knowledge. You know.
Yes.
It's okay to say, look here, I want to write my vision. And I just want to get your thoughts on writing your vision.
Yes.
And listen to but go to the right people. Don't go to the dealer standing on the corner. Hey, look, I want to write my vision. Can you tell me how to write? No.
That's right.
Go to somebody who is wise and he's about a good thing. I don't know how to say it, but you know who's doing good and who's following what God says, you know, first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know people who are on the right side of the road, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
Seek them to find out how to do your vision. But start it going. And you'll be surprised once you start writing your vision, guess what? It will it becomes easier as you go along. What
yes.
you want to see, where you want to see yourself in a week, in a month, in a year, in 5 years. Where do you want to see yourself? And God is a big God. So let your vision is your dream. Dream big.
Yes.
Got a big God. Let your dreams be big. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let those dreams, yes, and follow those dreams. When the door opens, God knows when and how to open doors for you. And when he opens them, don't be fearful. Walk through the door because it's a part of his plan. It's a part of your dream that he's going to bring to pass. He's going to use that as a piece of your dream that he is setting up for you. So, you know, you don't want to be fearful of going through the door because you can talk yourself and ask the Holy Spirit for every step you take and every move you make. That's the part of the relationship. That's part of giving God first fruits and talking to God first thing in the morning and giving him the first part of your day and then all through the day. Consult the Holy Spirit on everything, and you'll find the way will be smoother. God knows God knows how to straighten the crooked places, and he knows how to level out the valleys. So you just leave the heavy, you just leave the heavy lifting to him. He'll do all of that sort of stuff. But you just get the confirmation from him to walk in the way that he has planned for you, and to walk through the doors that he is opening for you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We thank you, Minister Jerry, for joining us today. We thank
yes,
all
sir.
That have listened to the Men's Fellowship. And if you have any more comments, anyone, you can call us after we go off after 8:30. After 8:30, because the women are coming on shortly after we go off. We got about one more minute. But thank you again, Brother Jerry, for taking this time out of your busy schedule to join us. We know you worked all day and you had some running around to do, but you took time to share some great thoughts with us. We thank God for you. We love you.
Absolutely.
Amen. Everyone,
glad to be of service.
This is Hallelujah, the Potter's House Christian Prayer Worship Center, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International, where the broken are made whole by God. This has been the Men's Fellowship. God bless you. And to those who are coming out on Sunday at 3 o'clock or tuning in on Sunday at 3 o'clock service, please do so. We're going to have a great time. God bless you all. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
I got out of my bed this morning, and I looked up towards heaven, and I found myself saying these words. You know what I said? I said, Jesus,
you've been good to me.
Oh, you've been good to me.
Oh, yeah.
I know you've been good. And you made me whole, made my life brand new, and right now I'm a witness to Paul.
Lord, you just come for me, I'm the walking ball of clay, then you place it on.
Thank you again for joining us. If you'd like to talk to us more about writing your vision, you can call us after 8:30 tonight, 8:30 p.m. tonight at 410-444-5152. That's 410-444-5152 after 8:30 tonight. God bless you real good.
I'm almost never to the ground. Oh,
with all around me,
why don't you say
I'm in a new state? But he's always there.
I kind of like that.
Hallelujah.
Calling Pastor Peachesburg.
I'm already on here. Hallelujah.
Are you there?
Hallelujah.
Okay. I cut it off. I'm getting ready to hook you up. Do you want me to call somebody?
Linda.
Oh, okay. All right. But do you remember her home number? Oh, you know what? I can get it on the cell phone. Oh, let me put it on.
Praise the Lord.
Popular track. 6.
Oh. Praise the Lord. That's his
Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is another month, and the Women's Fellowship is going on. Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, bless the Lord. Praise him.
Hallelujah. And that is Minister Linda Blackwell, and I'm Pastor Peaches, and we are here to bless the name of the Lord again. Another second Friday of the month. Hallelujah. And we're just grateful for every and any opportunity God gives us to bless his holy name and to bless the people of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No matter how tired we may be, we are both mothers. We are women that has multiple things to do. But when we have to do something for the Lord, God just energizes us, and he just blesses us because we know that when we bless him, he's going to bless us. Hallelujah. Good evening, Minister Blackwell.
Good evening, my sister. How are you this evening?
Blessed, blessed, blessed. And it's always blessed. It's always a wonderful thing to hear your voice.
Yes.
And
yes.
You always have so much encouragement. You always you always talk with a smile. That's what people tell me. Oh, I just love to talk to you because I can hear the smile in your voice. And I can always hear the happiness and the smile and the joy in you too, Linda. And that is truly a blessing, and we know it's nothing but the Lord, the joy of the Lord in us. And tonight, you know, and I always pray and ask the Lord, you know, God, what is it that you want me to talk about, even when it comes to the children, the children's corner on Wednesdays and the pastor's corner on Sundays. And I was saying, Lord, and, you know, and sometimes, it may not be popular things, or it may be things that other people may not have thought about or whatever, or, you know, but I was asking the Lord today, and what came to me was, okay, we are approaching the holidays.
Yes.
And we know a lot of things that happens around the holidays. A lot of times people are given to depression. A lot of times people think about giving gifts. And
yes.
A lot of times, and then, what can depress them is not having money to give gifts.
Yes.
Sometimes their children have grown up. Then when their kids were small, they used to tell their children would sit around their feet, and they would tell the children about Santa and tell them, make out a Christmas list. A lot of the children, I know my baby's 34. I'm not about to tell anybody that, oh, make out your Christmas list, baby, and give it to me. I'm not about to tell anybody the story of Santa Claus, although I was never told that story. But that's what we want to talk about tonight. I want to, some of the questions is, how can we prepare our children for the holidays?
All right. Can I speak a little bit, sis?
Yes.
Well, when my kids were young and we had given our lives to Christ,
mm-hmm.
We gave up the theories of Santa, and we indulged them in the truth of the holiday, the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We would sing Happy Birthday, Jesus, and we would give gifts to each one another as God gives us gifts to remind us of the Christ that was in us. That, you know, that we were the children of Christ, and we walk in him, and we live in him. And so this is the way we celebrate. We even had the birthday cake, and we would sing Happy Birthday, Jesus, because it was the birth of Christ. So mm-hmm. these are the things that, you know, I learned to do with my kids mm-hmm. to keep, you know, to instill in them why the holiday was important. And then we would do the songs and, you know, encouragement, the word of God, you know, the things and melody, you know. We did wish you a Merry Christmas, you know, that kind of thing. But it was still with the only idea is that we celebrated the birth, the one, our Savior, you know, the one that came and lived and died for us. So that was even at that point in Christmas time. So I don't know how many other families, you know, do that, but I'm pretty sure it was quite a bit of Christian families. And we still had our trees and decorations and everything because we were not worshiping the trees. We weren't worshiping the decorations. We were worshiping the birth of our Savior, you know. So
awesome.
That's part of the fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so important. That is so important. That is awesome. That's awesome
yeah.
because the different things that we teach our children, it's going to be like a ripple effect because when their children are born, they're going to do the same thing in their household, and they're going to do it in their household. Although I know a lot of things that I taught my my kids, it was just like, I ain't telling my children those things. When they did grow up and they have children now, themselves saying things that my husband and I have said to them, they catch themselves. I sound like my mother. Thank God I put the right thing in them. Thank God my husband put the right thing. He spoke the right thing around them.
Yes.
Now they're repeating us.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we can tell them to go through. Also, we can tell our children, the young ones, to go through their toys and clothes and take out things that they don't want anymore or can't fit. Because I think we all got some things in our closets that can't fit and outgrown. And give them away or take them, like wash them up, freshen them up, iron them up, press them up, and have a table in front of our house. And
yeah.
Have people to come past, you know, have some supermarket bags there. Have the people come take whatever you want. Can you use this? Or take them to a shelter or even take them to another person's house that we know that can use them. Because everybody may not want to come out in public and want somebody else to see them picking up something off of a table. But sometimes
no.
Help them keep their dignity and take something to their house, you know, and put it on their doorstep or something like that. You know, we've all have things, and I know I'll speak for me. I know when my kids were little, we've been in need. I thank God for people that have brought groceries and put on our doorstep, run the doorbell, drove off. Thank God I had a landlord. I was renting a house from a lady that lived down the street from the people in the neighborhood. They had, I think they gave away groceries on Thursdays. And sometimes I may would bring home the milk from where I worked, and she had a bowl. She would have a box of food on my dining room on the kitchen counter that had cereal in it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. That's how God would do things. And God provide the cereal.
Everything we stood in need of, precious, with seven children. Believe me, God was our provider. But my baby used to call themselves the Keebler Elves around Christmas time. Because we would go get big bags of flour and sugar and the butter and things. And we would bake cookies. I would have them in the kitchen. We would the peanut butter cookies, peanut butter blossoms, the chocolate chip, whatever we could get our hands on. And my son said, when we were growing up, we were just like the Keebler Elves. Every time we looked, we was putting the pan in and taking it out. Because they had to make sure that all the cookies were uniformly done. They couldn't just make a mess. So I got cookie shooters and cookie cutters and stuff, and I would say 1, 2, 3 press, 1, 2, 3 press, and I had them all with that little baking sheet, and they would say, but they would eat just as many as they were cooking, you know. And so I said, well, you weren't Keebler Elves, and no, baby, that's because y'all were eating them as we were making them. And our friends, we would look around and say, well, where's the chocolate chips or whatever the favorite was? And they had eaten them, and it was 5 sons. Girl, get out of here. But I had to bake in a bounty, you know, to give, to be able to share, and that was a way that we would give out of ourselves.
Yes, and doing for others. And we may thought that it was nothing, but it was sharing God's love.
Yes.
Sharing love, and I guarantee you that was something that other people wasn't thinking about doing. And they may have had children in their house, Linda, but it wasn't like they were trying to bake cookies. Some parents, because I've asked children, like, how many of you know how to do this? How many of you know how to do that? When their parents was in the kitchen, their parents would shoot them out the kitchen. Get out. Go play. No.
I keep sharing with you at the age my children, when we were raised by the age of 12, we needed to know what to do to take care of ourselves. So once it was taught to me, I taught it to my children. So by the time they were 12, baby girl, they was in that kitchen cutting and cooking and measuring, because that was a way of teaching them math. That was a way of letting them know how to count. And they had to keep accurate things. And see, I don't know why parents would show them out, because this is a time of teaching and knowledge. You share with them, you know, they learned how to do fractions, you know, when 1/4 teaspoon or 2 tablespoons, they knew that a tablespoon was 5 mL, you know, depending on what we had to measure. But this was our way, again, to teach them how to do things within themselves and out of themselves that made them think and use problem-solving skills.
Yeah.
So this the holidays were good. See, these things aren't even thought about when you're doing the laborious work for Christmas. You know, you shouldn't be in there by yourself. This is when you bring in the family, and it's a family affair. And they, like I said, they thought they were the Keebler elves. So, but they had a time of learning. And then when we did things, too, that made two or two, like, when they were getting their gifts and stuff, again, we gave it to them for the christening, so we didn't have a Christmas list. Whatever God provided was the gift that they were given. And I think when we did it like that, we always touched their souls, because it was something that they weren't looking for. You know, it was something that they hadn't even thought about getting, because this is how God provides. So that was the thing. And they'd be looking at me and say, wow, because we had no Christmas list. My husband look at me and say, "What you ain't gonna start no junk, are you?" So they weren't disappointed, you know what I'm saying? Because some kids get upset when they don't get what they want for the holiday, and they say, "Well, I wrote a list," and I'd be like, "You know, I couldn't do that. I had 7. No, baby, we don't write lists down here. We accept what God allows." You know what I'm saying? Whatever God blesses us with, and they'd be saying, "Oh, this is so good," and they were so grateful they felt that God thought of them enough to give them a gift. So I'm sorry, precious. I'm just sharing. You know, we had some beautiful times in there, laughing and giggling about the gifts and stuff. You know, so.
But, Linda, did your family believe in telling the children about Santa at all, or did they ever hear the story of Santa?
Well, they saw it on TV, and they heard the story of Santa, but then they kept saying, "We don't even have a fireplace, so you can't come see us because we don't have a fireplace." Maybe asking me, you know, how is this man going to get down a chimney that we didn't have? So, you know, I didn't have to explain too much because I told him he didn't. I was going to say, "No, that man ain't coming in our house." Because they had already figured out without the fireplace and the chimney, that man was not coming to see them. In fact, they thought about looking for him at one point in time.
Oh, my God.
And they
say, my mother, well, my dad, when I was 10, all of us, all 8 of us were still home.
Yeah.
We were never told the story of 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. I remember reading it in a storybook, probably in school, and I know there was a big Catholic church that was behind our house. Our backyard went out to the yard of the Catholic church, and I guess there's someone in the Catholic church, I guess, went around to, I guess, the neighborhood and invited all the children. So all the kids went over to the rectory, and there was Santa, and everybody got a box of candy and a bag that had an apple and an orange in it or something like that. And
yeah,
my first time ever seeing a Santa Claus. We were never told the story of Santa.
No.
And we always saw the Christmas stories on television.
Yes.
Probably heard it in school or stuff like that. But just to think, what do you think, if we told our children about the story of Santa and they became of age, and then, because if you tell them the story of Santa Claus, and then get them to wonder, like, well, how in the world are he going to get in our house? We ain't got no chimney. There ain't no white man going to come in our neighborhood and bring them like children to us. Had to tell them the story about the Easter Bunny, about putting the tube underneath the tube, and put your tube, when your tube come out, put underneath the pillow, and the Easter Bunny going to come. Huh, what?
That's what the Tooth Fairy.
Right, the Tooth Fairy. They, later they're going to come of an age, and they're going to find out we lied to them.
Yeah, because they look under that pillow, and that tooth was still laughing. They were pretty upset. I'm sorry, President.
They're going to find out sooner or later. Mine.
Man,
you're
that
right.
Every time, because they were sitting up there, even they got a quarter, and that wasn't enough money. Or they, you know what I'm saying? So, no, I had to learn to tell the truth.
Yes, and I think, and you know what? And I believe it gave our children a confidence.
Yes.
No, okay, mom and dad don't lie to us.
Yes.
I can go
yes.
to mom and dad and tell them, talk to them about this.
Yes.
I know mom and dad going to tell us the truth. So they,
yes.
when it came to the time of telling them about Jesus, they knew
yes.
we were telling the truth even about Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Because we were laying a foundation, not
yes.
telling them certain stories that they were going to find out was a lie. But
yes.
I never thought about that. But I know different things that I, when my girls were, it was time to tell them about facts of life and this and that, or tell them about the body and don't let the boys do this and you keep yourself to. And if there was no, I told them there was, there's no plan B.
No.
Because people would say, oh, girl, you raising them girls, are you going to put them on birth control? You going to do this? I said, oh, no, 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 no.
No.
They said, well, you going to have a house full of babies. I said, oh, no, 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 no.
No.
Said, I'm going to teach them the word of God.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to teach that there's a plan A. It's absolute.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's the word of God. If they go past, go outside of this, it's on them.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to come back and say, Mama, you lied to me.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. And they have yet to say that. Mama, you lied to me about such and such. Because
yeah.
I say, I'm going to give them the word of God. That's the foundation. You go outside of that. It ain't no plan B. You on your own.
Yeah. Well, see, I do have two daughters, and I've never put any of them on birth control. I express the things of my daughter said to say I didn't want it. I'm sorry, but I'm laughing because my daughter's making faces over here. That's me, my baby girl. But anyway, I'm sorry, Precious. But, you know, we talk about the body and the wholesomeness of it, and we talk about things, and I think, too, sis, in talking, I opened the door to compassion.
Uh-huh.
And I opened the door, like I said, I told them truth, you know, about the body and the pregnancies and different things. I didn't tell them about the birth part because, you know, how the baby does this and stuff, you know. But I'm just talking about in general and keeping yourself, you know, and, you know, being chaste and trying to, you know,
yes.
do that which was right. But I also told them, too, thank you, Father God, that he is forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to confess your things. You know, where they couldn't feel like they could come to me and talk, they could still open the door to talk to God
uh-huh.
for themselves and learn how to have a relationship with God, you know, an open relationship and talking and praying. And, you know, uh-huh. because sometimes we find ourselves in places that are difficult, and I try to tell them about keeping out of those spots and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, am I making sense to you, sis?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but they had to know how to go to God for themselves, and
yes.
my babies did. I, you know, they did what they did, and I love them, and God still loves them. You know,
that's right. And no matter what they do, no matter what we've done, Jesus loves us. He never
yes.
took us away from those foolish things that we
yes.
should have known better not to do, but we did. We ain't there.
Yes.
Like that. So therefore, that's how we have to love our children.
Yes, yes, and that's what I thought to him. I said, I don't care what can separate us from the love of God.
That's
and
right.
that's what I would teach them, because I didn't want them to feel that if they made a mistake or if something happened, that they had nowhere to turn, because there's hope.
Uh-huh.
And there's peace, and there's joy, and there's forgiveness, and there's mercy. And, you know, because God is so merciful. I mean, just the fact that we can go to him and put anything. I didn't want them to be afraid.
That's right.
I wanted them to be able to open up and talk to me honestly, number one, and to openly talk to God. So that was things that I tried to establish with all of them, my son, and not only the girls, babe. I was doing that with the dudes, too, my babies. I was like, hold up, don't be coming up in here. I don't want to be meeting a whole bunch of people. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, But going back to the fact of the holidays and different things, what makes them special is that the love that we share.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what holiday it is, if we're not showing love, in, even in Thanksgiving, you know, the kids were saying, well, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do Thanksgiving because of the way they said that it came about with the pilgrims and stuff, as they became knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
But then that was something that we gave thanks to God. What were we thankful to God for?
Yeah.
And so that took out all of the other stuff that was the ramifications of what that holiday was primarily built on.
Uh-huh.
It brought it back to the blessings of God to make it rich and adds no sorrow. You know, those are the things that I wanted them to see, that the provisions of God was above and beyond what we could think, ask, and imagine. And
yes.
we were getting ready to settle down for that winter.
Yes.
You know, this is the time when we're getting ready to go into the cold time of year, when food was scarce in the garden, you know, because we always kept a garden and stuff. And we had to be thankful, and we would put away and put up, and we would celebrate being thankful for what God has done and what he was going to do. So that's another thing. And Thanksgiving, don't want to leave that out. I would ask them, what are you thankful for?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What do you have in your heart that you want to be thankful for?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so those were things that we did at Thanksgiving time.
Yeah.
To express, you know, they would say, well, I don't know because, you know, and I know, you know, some things were hard. But since when you start talking and opening up, they realize that a lot of things that they were concerned about, God had already answered.
Praise God.
You know, and God was already making a way, you know, because they knew that they were going to him. So it's the holidays of being celebrated in the manner of how you share. That's probably, you know. So that's what I was sharing, too. I didn't want to leave out Thanksgiving because a lot of times that's overlooked because you're thinking about the food of things. But it is the heart of being thankful for what God has done. And that's the time we celebrate that within a family to come around. So we would have, you would say, every barnyard animal in a way, depending on what we had. You know, sis, it was just fun. We did fun things and was grateful because we were getting ready to lock down for winter, you know. So I'm sorry, I didn't know I was going to take.
Make memories.
That's
memories. I know our children, I'm sure they can, every child can probably pick out a time that they could probably say, well, I ain't like that. When we was growing up, we ain't do this and we ain't like that and this and that. Or some moment in a family's life that they wish they didn't experience or whatever. But I believe the good times outweigh the bad times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Well, I was laughing because I was thinking about my brother. I had one of my older brothers, and I ain't coming around family around Thanksgiving time, you know, because he would go different places, and people would get in fights. And you know, by the time they got finished thanking God, they was in there fighting each other. But when we would have Thanksgiving here, I would have family and friends coming from the north, east, south, and west.
Mm.
And I'm looking, and I look in here, and I'd be saying, how in the world did we feed all those people and the pots were still full?
Yes.
You know, that we had leftovers and more than enough. Have you ever done that, sis?
Praise God. We had it was eight of us. Well, mom and my mother and father and all eight of us, it was 10. And it was always leftovers. It was always leftovers. And then my mother would make turkey soup. We had turkey salad, turkey stew, turkey. This thing we want like good gravy. How long is this turkey going to be in the refrigerator? How long? I mean, how many days we going to have turkey? Anything? But the thing is, the Lord would stretch it. No matter what, God gave our parents abilities. And he also gave me as a mom, because when the kids were little, gave me ability to go to that refrigerator and make a meal when it looked like nothing was in there.
Yes.
Go hungry. If food was needed, and I remember one sister at the church, she said, Peaches, I remember you giving a testimony saying you told the children set the table.
Yeah.
Children set the table, and by the time we were setting the table and said grace or sit around, a knock came to the door. Yes. I was out there, and there were grocery bags of food on the steps.
Yes.
And the children, so therefore we're creating memories. And and believe you me, they're going to be able, this is just like money in their bank.
Yes,
memories
it is.
In their bank. Yes. And they're going to be they're able to call on that same God that we.
Yes, yeah, that poor heart, silly little voice. Yes.
When they have to call on that God, it's not, they aren't calling on a God that they never saw work a miracle or do a miracle.
Yes.
They are calling on the God that their parents talked to them about.
Yes.
God that they know works and comes through. They know that they're praying to a God that has ears, God that has eyes and sees them, and a God that's going to run swiftly to them when they call.
Well, listen, I'm going to share this, too. One time we was in here, and we only had a turkey in the freezer. One turkey. Listen to me, sis. And we was having something at the church, and God said to me to cook the turkey and take it to the fair at the church. And I was like, and the kids was looking at me because they knew that was the only food we had. You understand what I'm saying to you, sis? And I was obedient. I got that turkey, and I browned it up, and I fixed it, and I took it to church. Oh, girl. And the kids was looking at me and said, Ma, we going to give them the whole thing? Because it was hard times. We were at one point we were by ourselves and we thinking, you know.
Uh-huh.
But God say, whoa, I took that turkey in there, sis, and I gave it with the heart that God gave it for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left the building, somebody walked up to me and said, sister, listen, I got these things in the car, and I was wondering if you needed some turkey. And I was like, and I was sitting there, not only did I have the turkey that I gave away, I had turkeys that I was taking home, and I had the trimmings and everything else that went with it, sis. And
right.
So you tell me. And see, these are the things that our baby remembers. You know, it's not always the good stuff, but that was good. That was above and beyond what we could think, ask, or imagine.
Yes.
That was like the impossible things. And this just went to show them that God is our provider, you know. What do you stand in need of, you know, and he makes a way out of no way. And, you know, you can't put your confidence in the arm of flesh, but when you come to God and you pray and you do that which is obedient to him, he always comes through. I mean, I say he. The I am does what he does, you know, and makes a way out of no way for you. So I'm just excited to talk about the holidays because sometimes it's stressful.
Mm.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to holler, but sometimes it gets stressful around this time because you get to thinking about what you don't have and what you do need. But if we turn it over to God and we talk to our Father, mm-hmm. our provider, the God that never fails, you know,
mm-hmm.
he makes a way out of no way, sis.
Yes,
above and beyond what we could think, ask, and imagine. Thank you for letting me share.
Praise
Thank
God.
You. So much. Yeah.
My next question, what are ways that we can bless others when we don't think we have anything ourselves?
Well,
You did
the cookie thing, but we also, even in our things, we would give each other promises, the little notes or little cards or something and
awesome.
Say something. Will babysit or, you know, I will, you know, do something, shovel your snow, or I will help you with something, you know, some of my kids were a student in math, and they would say, you know, pass, I'll help you with your math homework or something, you know. So, I mean, it was things that we give out in promises, even in little cards or little things. And we did a lot of homemade stuff back then, too. I taught them arts and crafts and things to do with their hands to keep their minds from being idle.
Yes,
you
yes,
know,
please.
And they would do. They would send out little notes of what they would do for you, little gifts of that, like that, the gift of what they would share to do for you. So that's another way when you don't have the finances. We always can do the love and the labor, you know.
And you know what, Miss, that means so much more. I'm serious. There are times because when my girls were little, and I have to mention the times that we did not have. And
oh,
so that's
girl.
I had to, but I still wanted to be a blessing to my sisters, and I'm next to the baby of seven girls.
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, I always wanted to give. So, but I've always been good in arts and crafts. So I would think of things that I could make.
Yes.
I remember one time I went to the thrift shop, and I found a piece of red material.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody in the family even got a red apron. a red runner that goes down the middle of the table with four placemats.
Yes.
They got whatever they got. They got red. I'm serious. I wanted to give them something, and then I made a couple dollars, and I would go to the thrift shop and get baskets.
Oh, yes.
Then went to the dollar store, and dollar store would have like the soap and the body wash and the shampoo, and they said
And
buy one of them little fuzzy scrubby things and put that in there, you know, and then get some plastic or some saran wrap or whatever,
right,
and wrap the basket. And the basket only cost maybe less than $5.
Yes.
But they knew that it was from my heart, and it tickled them more getting something that I made.
Yes.
Than I would have gotten from Macy's or one of them. They said, like, oh, my goodness. And my mother said, one thing about you, Peach, is you can sure enough make something out of nothing.
Yes, baby girl.
Yes.
Living.
And it's a gift. God has given all of us gifts and talents.
Yes,
and
he has.
The hard times, and like, brings those gifts and talents out.
Yes.
Blessing somebody else.
And
he's given us all gifts and talents that can earn us money, that can earn us finances.
Yes.
Our house that can bring us some money in the house. Just like the woman that said in the scripture, she said, well, I'm going in. The prophet came to a house and said, what do you have? She said, me and my son are going to make this last pancake, and we're gonna lay down and die. But she served the man of God, and she was blessed. I may be getting two stories mixed up. She poured the oil and he told her to go. She went around and got all the vases and all the pots or whatever she could.
Yes, she did.
And as many pots and stuff, vases that she had enough oil for those and brought money into her house.
Yes.
And I believe God has, he's given us all gifts and talents and abilities to bring something into the home. And I believe, and I'm sure her son saw that. That was a witness to her son.
Yes.
You know, so the different things that we have done, we have labored all our children. They have seen it.
They have.
God,
they witnessed.
We'll bring you through tough times. My children have said it. They know to pray. And you had said something a few minutes ago about your children having that. You want to have that one-on-one relationship, that was my prayer when the kids were growing up. Lord, I want them to have that one-on-one relationship with you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because we don't want them to think, oh, baby, you saved because mama saved. No. For your own self-salvation.
Yes. Yes.
And I thank God because that's the God that my children know today.
Yes.
They know God for themselves.
Yes.
They know them, know him, and they can call on him when they're by themselves, when their back is against the wall, when they need a bill paid, when they need finances in their pocket.
They know
how to call on God for themselves.
You know, they watched us through the years, Peachy.
Uh-huh.
Our babies have been right in there watching us and the prayers that we sent. They heard my baby used to say, my son told me one time, he said, Ma, you keep saying that you're in a peaceful place. He said, but I hear you in the middle of the night when you're in there, you know, crying and crying. And I thought, I said, baby. I said, Mommy's not just crying and crying. I'm praying, you know, because sometimes I will wake up with something, sis, and I'll be getting in there, and I start praying and crying on in my prayer language, and I don't know what it's for or who it's for, but I just go before God and everything. And they be saying, my baby said, well, Ma, you can't be. I said, baby, everything's all right. All things. I said, you have to learn how to walk and to know what God is wanting you to do. Be obedient to the spirit that God has in you once you give your life to him. Just listen, and he'll, you know, sometimes wake you up. And it's not always for your household.
bless the Lord, it's for someone else. So these are holidays and times that we should spend with our babies, instructing and teaching and encouraging them, you mm-hmm. know, to enjoy their lives, too, to make it so that life is enjoyable, not always a hard place, but a time of celebration. You know, every day should be celebrated, I think, sis. I'm sorry. You can carry on, sis. I'm sorry.
No, the words you're sharing is beautiful, and it's testimony to God where our children, where we have taught them, where, and thank God we were Holy Ghost-filled examples in
yeah.
front of them. And,
yeah.
and so they'll know, because they know, because one of your sons, you were able to tell your child, and they were able to hear you pray in the spirit, they get
yeah.
to know, hey, what I'm supposed to do when it's tough. What did mama do? What did mama do when mama got her back against the wall? What did
yes.
mama do? And, you know, and they had examples in front of them. They didn't have to pick up a book and
no.
What do you do in tough times? Oh, no, they saw it.
Yeah, well, now they're Googling stuff, girl. Stop playing with me. I was like, what? You can Google? What's a Google? I'm sorry, hello.
The Lord,
yeah.
the word of God is good. Yes, indeed. And as a one scripture, Proverbs 6:23, the 23rd verse says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the
yeah.
law is light, and reproof of instructions,
yes.
and instructions are the way of life. It's
yes.
correction. And so therefore, the word of God, that's all
yes.
I had to give mine.
Yes.
That's all we had to give was correct, was the word of God. And
yes.
the word of God is going to prove itself, and it has. It has proved
yes.
themselves, and God is continually proving themselves to our children.
Yes.
The life that your mama, look, we weren't perfect parents, but we served a perfect God.
Yes, thank you, baby girl, because I know my baby be sitting up there. And that's why I told him, when you hit hard times, you know, you turn into the rock. You understand?
Right.
You don't put your confidence in flesh.
Amen.
You hear that? Yeah, you have to trust in God. With all things, give him the glory. With all things, go to him, you know,
yes.
and pray. You know, what can separate us from the love of God? So that's what I wanted them to know. I don't care what you're going through. God is still God. He doesn't change, you know.
That's right. And he's going to love them no matter what. He's going to
yes.
love them. They weren't perfect children. We weren't perfect parents. But we
no.
served the perfect God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Much, Pat, Minister Linda. Hallelujah. Thanks, Tiffany. I know you're there with Mom.
Yes.
Thank God for all of your examples, Linda. Thank God for living the life in front of your children and the people of God and sharing and being a Holy Ghost-filled woman.
Thank you, sis, and I love you for asking. Thank you for including me. God bless you and keep
God
you and your family. Thank you so much, sis. All right.
Bye-bye. Hallelujah.
For all the world to see him living.